This sickness knows very few bounds. It's next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principle Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Good to talk with you as always. Good to be back in the studio, getting our equipment working correctly, and hopefully kicking out all our programs to keep people informed.
Well, yeah, if listeners have been following us this week, those we haven't lost from, you know, being too incendiary, we've been talking about an illness, the insanity of the 30 days prior to an election, especially a major election of presidential proportions such as this one, where many people on both sides of the debate, whether you be Republican or Democrat, believe that this is the one to end all others, and it's for all the marbles. Well, we know that, number one, it isn't the one to end all others, and it's really not for all the marbles. It's just you can keep the ball bouncing. But the point is that the insanity really, it doesn't just lie in the grassroots. It doesn't lie in the handlers and the campaign staff. Sometimes it lies with the candidates. And we've been talking a little bit about Barack Obama's, the Obama derangement syndrome, the fact that he's deluded because he thinks he won the debate last week. And now, Chuck, another piece which fell into our laps from our friends over at CNS News, written by Ben Feller for the Associated Press, which was basically a report on President Obama working the fundraising circuit in California, that he was at a $20,000 per ticket dinner. Yeah, you heard me right, folks, $20,000 per ticket. Yes, I did say Barack Obama, not Mitt Romney, although Obama, I think, made some kind of claim that he didn't hold those kind of dinners, and that was Romney's purview because Romney's rich. Well, gee, really, Barack Obama just raised $181 million in September for his campaign. I'm not thinking that's chump change. How about you, Chuck?
Well, where he's picking up this kind of money is in Hollywood.
Well, and he was in San Francisco here, $20,000 per ticket for a dinner, and he's basically carrying on the theme, I very much intend to win this election. Well, yes, of course. I don't think anybody would give you $20,000 if you got up there and said, I think maybe possibly if the stars align and everything goes well and I've been a good boy, I might win this race.
Well, yeah, that's the bottom line. The reason that candidates can continue to collect money is that because whether there's a clear-cut possibility of victory or not, if the trend in a polling, and let's talk about this for a minute. The fact is that the polls have been kept close on purpose, I think purposely, pardon my conspiratorial tone, by the polling agencies in order to make sure that the money collection doesn't stop. In other words, if they showed where the actual candidate numbers were, one camp or another would actually stop being able to collect money.
They would lose per action. That's exactly right.
If you'll recall, that happened to John McCain in 2008.
Yes, it did.
John McCain stopped being able to get money after about mid-September or early October because it became clear that the only thing that was saving him was Sarah. I've seen commentary to the contrary that she cost him the election, all this, to which I always laugh. He was going to get steamrolled until he picked Sarah Palin. She's the only one who kept it close. And that being said, she didn't keep it close enough that he could keep the money spigots open. In fact, you're going to see the money spigots flown until about October 31st on this one.
Right, exactly. And so while he's out there trying to pump the pump there to get money at $20,000 a ticket, I'm going to win this election. It's really close. But the article goes on to say that he says it will require supporters to mobilize every resource they can think of to help him. He encourages those who've given him cash to do more by sending emails, making phone calls, and reaching out to cousins or uncles or friends in the battleground states that will decide the election. Interesting, he picks out cousins and uncles. Does that mean that they can then send their money to those cousins and uncles to send to Barack Obama when this person's maxed out? I think that's campaign finance fraud.
Well, it's also Chicago code for vote early, vote often.
It is as well. Yes, that's true.
Well, and that ties in with the efforts to make sure that the voter rolls are not purged of the dead and the ineligible and people who have moved out of state.
Exactly. All your dead cousins and uncles and friends. But here's what we call the money quote. Okay. He says, you've got to make sure we bring this home. And he tells his backers that it's time to get, quote, almost obsessive. Okay. Chuck, now, this is a later stage of ODS, Obama Derangement Syndrome. You know, first, what we talked about earlier in the week, then it's the delusion of thinking you want a debate that you really got your head handed to you. Okay, now it's time to be obsessive. We said he was compulsive the other day with his lack of wanting to be, you know, in briefings and doing the things or the responsible things that he's supposed to be doing as president. So that's compulsivity. Now here comes the obsessive part. So for any of you out there who actually suffer from obsessive compulsive disorder, you know, we're not trying to make light of this or belittle you. We're just saying when you look at it in a president, it really gives you a deep level of discomfort with who's running the country right now.
Well, harken back for a minute to Richard Nixon and his rather obvious paranoia.
Oh, yeah.
When you have a president with a psychological disorder, it begins to show and it has an effect on how he governs. And frankly, I think we've been seeing that since day one of the Obama administration. The guy's convinced that he can run the thing on his own. And that shows in the fact that every time you turn around at Friday at 3 o'clock, he dumps a load of executive orders that just simply usurp congressional authority, usurp judicial authority for the executive branch. And of course, we have another psychological disorder in Congress, and that is John Boehner doesn't have a spine to stand up to the guy. He'd rather rope-a-dope, and that has its own problems. But the fact is that we're seeing the effects of this egomania. I mean, Barack Obama is an egomaniac. Of that, there is little doubt.
Yeah, it's true. But, you know, Chuck, sometimes, especially when you're in the spotlight, like a president would be, these, shall we say, idiosyncrasies, to be kind, do manifest and magnify themselves to the point where people start losing confidence in you.
Yes.
And when you start talking about obsessiveness and Big Bird and winning the debate and it's a bummer that you have to do your homework, it starts taking its toll as people look at you and say, is this really where the direction we want to go? And especially when you're dealing with the last 30 days of an election, and you're dealing with, as we do here, a bellwether state for the country in Ohio. Basically, the old adage is absolutely proven out time and time again that if you're going to win the presidency, you've got to win Ohio, especially if you're a Republican. But it doesn't hurt if you're a Democrat either. If you can win Ohio, you can possibly win the presidency more often than not. So Ohio has become like the, well, I wouldn't necessarily say it the kingmaker state, but it's getting close.
Well, it's interesting, too, how many electoral votes we have, because I think we're down to what, 19?
No, we are down to 18.
18.
We have 16 congressional seats and the two senatorial ones we get for the votes. We have 18. As of this election, we have 18 electoral votes.
Because I think in 2008, we were at we were at 19.
Well, we were at 20 because
20.
We had right. 18 congressional seats, but now we've dropped down to 16.
Yes. Okay. I knew I was somewhere in the vicinity because I knew Pennsylvania had one more than we did.
Yes.
And that was in the last electoral cycle. Of course, nobody has as many as California. I think they still have 56,
I believe.
But the fact is that a state like Ohio can be such a key, tells you something about, we are a swing state. We do tend to go back and forth, although really Ohio's been under Republican control mostly since probably the late 80s.
Yeah, exactly.
More or less. We've had times when control of one house or the governorship went over, but it didn't last.
Yeah, well, basically the Democrats had control of the House in Ohio. I mean, if you're talking about our congressional seats, yeah, that's been on for a while. But like at your state level, the Democrats had control of the House of Representatives for 40 years up until 1994. And then the Democrats had control of the Senate up until about 1987, but then they haven't had control of it since.
Anyway, this is a state where control tends to move back and forth. We're sort of like Indiana in that respect. Control moves back and forth. It's not a solid state, for instance, like California, which has been democratically controlled now for about 30 years, and it shows.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the reason why, Chuck, during this election cycle and the insanity moments here from 30 days out, just about everybody who's breathing and who has a phone number that they can find is going to be getting called to be getting polled, because polling in Ohio is everything. That's the game for the last 30 days of the election. Yes, it's about getting out the vote. But more than that, it's about the campaign, the neuroses of two campaigns trying to figure out who's got the edge. And for for a long time here, the media had been reporting that Barack Obama was leading by significant 5, 6, 7 points in Ohio. Well, Chuck, that isn't the case anymore.
Doesn't seem to be.
No, because right now, and this is, you pointed this out off of Breitbart.com, a poll just came out that was by the American Research Group, who polled in Ohio 600 likely voters in a telephone poll with a margin of error plus or minus 4 percentage points and a confidence margin of 95%, which is pretty much standard for polling, that as of this week, Romney beats Obama in a poll that has the Democrats, we talked about Democrats up plus nine for the Democrats in this poll, and Romney wins 48-47. Yes, nobody's broken 50% in Ohio yet, but the big thing, and you pointed this out, Chuck, and I'll let you point it out, is when you get down into the polling numbers, there's a certain segment of likely voters that's really basically painting the picture for how this thing's going to turn out.
Oh, absolutely. And the number is the independents. Now, let's break down this poll, how it was taken. Democrats were 42% of respondents. Republicans were 33% of respondents. So there's your D+9.
There's your D+9.
25% were independents.
That's right.
Which is an inordinately large number, I think, of independents.
Well, though, in Ohio, that really does paint a better picture because, yeah, and this is the thing that a lot of people don't know, Chuck. Most voters in Ohio are not registered Republicans or registered Democrats. They're independents.
Yeah.
It's always been that way. There's always been a little under a couple of million registered Democrats and a little under a couple of million registered Republicans. But the other 4 or 5 million registered voters in the state of Ohio have been independents.
That being said, Romney is leading Obama in percentage 57-37 among independents.
That's right.
Now, that's a tale teller because here's the numbers of the Democrats. Of the 42% of Democrats that are registered Democrats, only 88% are for Obama.
Yes. 7% of those Democrats, likely voters, say they're going to vote for Mitt Romney.
Exactly. With 4% undecided. This is pretty late in the game for registered Democrats to be undecided.
So what you're looking at, Chuck, is the potential of anywhere up to about 10% of the Democrat vote in Ohio may go to Mitt Romney.
Exactly.
And if you look at the numbers, it's really questionable if that Mitt Romney couldn't win 60% of the independent vote in the state of Ohio.
Yes. Barry, that is a very telling figure. I mean, these are insurmountable numbers, essentially.
Yes, they are. This may be the one poll, when you start looking at the breakdowns, has actually come closer, even though they're still showing it tightly locked at the top of 48-47, but showing the instability of the Barack Obama reelection campaign when you start digging down into the numbers. Obama barely has a grasp. Now, 52% of the respondents were women, and Obama is barely winning the women's vote 48-45. With 6% of women undecided as of yet. Now, that's significant, Charles, because, you know, the Democrats had this meme going all summer long about the Republican war on women. Well, I think what's happened is many women have looked at the campaigns and looked at the president, and their sense of needing security has kicked in, and they don't think they've got it under Barack Obama, who's has wars going all over the place and who's basically looking the other way as his ambassadors are being murdered in foreign countries.
Yeah, it's a security issue.
It is a security issue.
As you brought up earlier to me, you passed that by me, and I'm like, yeah, you're exactly right. This is a security issue. They're looking at what they're getting out of what they put in 2008 and not seeing the payoff.
No, not at all.
They're dropping dollar tokens in the slot and pulling the lever and not getting anything back. And so they're looking maybe to put a token in another slot, 6% of them at least. And these numbers could switch. We don't know how tightly some of these people are holding on to their convictions in this case.
And that's true. And, you know, you may see a surprise ad or what we call the October surprise that pops up with some startling revelation a la Herman Cain of improprieties, or the smoking gun may appear from through the Barack Obama campaign about something that they let go or caused an issue internationally or domestically, or maybe it is this whole thing about cousins and uncles, and maybe that's campaign finance issues. But as it all goes, Chuck, we still got 30 days before the election. Yeah, I think it's down to about 27 now, but the point is that folks, anything can happen. And so just be prepared for more onslaught of polling, postcards, and the television and radio airwaves being punctured by the sounds of campaigns.
And with that, we're out of time. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.